and welcome to another episode of Take Me There,
a podcast about travel.
Mm-hmm. I'm Alexandra Ford.
And I'm Andrew Ford, and we're married and we're in love.
Yeah, we're not brother and sister.
Yeah. Thank you guys for coming back for another episode.
Yeah, this time we got a really good one for you.
Yeah, we have a very, let's call it an offbeat one.
Offbeat.
Yeah, because a lot of people we talk to on this podcast are traveling for vacation's sake.
Yes, leisure travelers.
Yeah, where in this case we are talking to a business traveler.
I mean, we're trying to mix it up. We're trying to give people all this full scope of travel options, travel experiences.
Sure. So we are on this upcoming episode, we are having on our friend, Travis Helwig. Mm-hmm. Travis Helwig is the head writer at the Crooked Media Podcast Network.
Former head writer at Adam Ruins Everything.
Yes, and he is a big boy on Twitter.
Self-described big boy on Twitter.
Yeah. So Travis is a very old friend of mine.
I know. We've known each other since
fourth grade or something like that. Yeah, long time.
What's your favorite memory with Travis?
We met at Jump Rope for Heart, which was a heart disease fundraising event, but kids really liked it because you got to stay up really late and like run around the gym, and you were supposed to be jumping rope. People were supposed to be jumping rope.
How does that help?
Well, it's like running a marathon for something. It doesn't help anyone. You raise money.
Oh, so you're doing a lot of fundraising and then exercising after you do that to act like you've...
Are you hating on all fundraising that's sport related?
No, I'm just confused.
It's very interesting to learn a fact about your life on a podcast, which
I'm just trying to understand the process, which
doesn't like charity, I guess.
That's not true. I'm a big fan of nonprofits and the work
that they do. We had Travis on because Travis, for his job at Crooked Media, he has to travel a lot of the weeks out of the year.
The man is on tour.
So we got some great trips, tick trips.
It's a great trip. He gave us a lot of tips and tricks.
I really mumbled up those words. Yeah.
You did. You're a marble mouth, but it's okay.
I'm a marble mouth.
I still love you.
So, yeah, it's great to talk to somebody who travels that much and has, a lot of opinions on airlines and rewards programs and hotels. Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine going to the airport as often as Travis has to go to the airport. But I feel like there are lots of people who do that, where it's like planes are a normal part of their life all the time.
Yes, yeah. So that's really fun. We talk about him traveling all over the U.S. Mm-hmm. and what he likes about certain cities that he's been to, cities he realized he did not think he was going to like and he really liked.
I liked that Travis was surprised in his travels.
Yeah. So it's a very fun episode. And I guess we get right to it. This is Travis Helwig talking about traveling all around the United States for work. Also, the podcast is Take Me There. I hope you enjoy this episode.
Well, thank you so much for doing this, Travis.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Delighted to have you on, because as we were saying off mic before we started, you travel unlike anyone else that we know, because you're on the road all the time.
So you're a professional podcast creative executive.
Yes, I am the president and CEO of podcast.com.
So you tour, we could say the name of your podcast.
Yeah.
So you're the...
Let him say it.
What's your title?
I am the head writer at Crooked Media. Uh-huh. They make Pod Save America. I work mainly week to week on Love It or Leave It, which is John Lovett's comedy politics podcast, but it's a lot of politics podcasts that we do, and anytime they need, I'm a comedy writer, that's how we all know each other. Mm-hmm. And so anytime they need anything not dryly written about policy, I'm the one who writes it.
Yeah.
And then I have to run their live shows. So that was a new part of my job that I learned.
Yeah, which is why we wanted to have you on, because they tour a ton.
Yeah.
And so you're on the road, from my estimate, like half the year?
Yeah. I would say at least... I did the thing you told me not to do.
That's okay.
That's okay.
I would say I'm probably on the road at least a week a month, every month, if not longer.
Yeah.
Last month was a little bit, I think last month I was only home 1 week. One of that was because I was at a bachelor party, but beyond that, it was 2.5 weeks of travel for work.
Wow.
Plus
that is
the,
a lot.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
Let's zoom out a little bit. So what is kind of your travel background? Did you travel a lot as a kid?
No.
Okay.
Andrew and I grew up in the same hometown.
Same town.
Yes,
which,
you did.
I hope Andrew's parents aren't listening because it's a shithole town.
Yeah. Well, it's just like there's nothing special about it.
Offering more from forest to shore.
Yeah. Yes, we are offering more from forest to shore, which is our town slogan.
Stratford, Connecticut. We had a beautiful Shakespeare theater that kids from our high school burned down earlier this year.
I just saw they burned it down. Yeah. So they kept this theater. It was a famous like 1950s like Shakespeare theater. And then
Hepburn performed there.
Yes, like all these famous people. And then they were like, you always hear about these old buildings. They're like, oh, we're going to fix it up. We're going to do it again. Mm-hmm. We're going to have a new theater.
That
never happened because they could never find the funding. And eventually some kid was like, well, I'll just burn it down then.
And they did.
Yeah.
It was like the Target husk of Stratford.
Yes.
It truly was.
Yeah.
So the reason I brought that up is just it's like a bit of a small town. I didn't have a ton of money growing up. So traveling to me as a kid, I went to Disney World in 1996, mm-hmm. and that was the only time I was on a plane until I went like with a friend to Florida again, like a decade later. We would go to New Hampshire to Lake Winnipesaukee every summer to this cabin that my parents' friends owned, and that was like as far as we would go. We'd drive from Connecticut to New Hampshire to like a lakefront cabin, and I'd feed ducks for a couple days.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like our travel experience as kids was very similar. It was like, we would go to Wells, Maine, like once a summer, mm-hmm. and like maybe like up to the Adirondacks or something, but all car based.
You did a lot of like hiking and camping,
but all like within less than a day's drive from where I grew up.
Yeah,
so
you did like some bigger backpacking shit.
Yeah, but again, all within New England. Like I never left New England except to go to Disney World and see my cousins in Florida. Like that was it. Mm-hmm. That was the only travel I did.
When you grow up in the Northeast, Florida is the coolest place you could possibly go.
Everyone's like Florida.
Orlando, Florida is where you gotta go.
I mean, honestly, like growing up in New Mexico, I thought that too, because it was like my window into like what other cool kids across the country were doing was Nickelodeon and Disney Channel.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh my God, Nickelodeon Studios in Orlando, Florida. This is it. This is living.
Oh man. I went to Orlando for work last year, and as an adult, doesn't hold up as a place to go.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad.
It seems rough.
Yeah. It's Florida Project is an accurate description of Orlando.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Well, it's very much like all my cousins, all my extended family live in Lakeland, which is a suburb of Orlando. Mm-hmm. And my parents or like my siblings will go down.
For when Orlando's too big of a city.
Yes.
Yeah.
We'll go down there and they'll be like, do you want to come? And I'm like, no. Like never. Yes. Never going to do that.
I've only
no offense to my cousins,
Disney World when I've been to Orlando, so I really have no sense of Florida. Well, no. One time my dad had a conference in St. Augustine, and so we like hung out there. I remember going to a gator farm and being like, this place is old.
Yeah.
Because I have to eat a lot of like hotel meals.
Oh, yeah.
And the most expensive meal I expensed, because I always just get breakfast in the hotel, the most expensive meal I've ever gotten on the road was in an Orlando hotel, because we got there on like a Saturday morning early. Mm-hmm. And I was like, all right, let's just sit and have brunch. And the show was that night. And it was a seafood brunch. And they didn't tell us it was price fixed. So it was like a seafood buffet brunch at 9 a.m. with just like crab legs and lobster. And so it was like $125 for a breakfast that I had maybe two eggs at.
That's cool. Incredible.
Yeah. That's great.
Wow.
Yeah,
those two expensive eggs.
So when did you start, I guess, like what I like to call like really traveling? Mm-hmm. Like, not that these Florida isn't an amazing place, like we've all said, we love it. But when did you start actually going places, and like where were those places initially that you went?
Honestly, after I graduated college, I didn't, I traveled small places. Like I flew to Maine once to try to convince a girl to fall in love with me.
Oh yes, I remember this.
But beyond that, like I my wife and I are both comedy writers. Once we decided to move out here, that's when air travel got a little bit more comfortable. Mm-hmm. And then we started going on some trips together, and it's still like once a year or something like that. But mm-hmm. I went to Europe for the first time mm-hmm. after I'd moved out here. We went to Hawaii for the first time. We went to Bora Bora and Greece, and then we just started traveling. Like we went to Nashville and Austin together. Just it started to pick up a little bit more once we moved out here.
Right.
Yeah.
I think just because air travel didn't feel as scary once you have to do it a couple times a year. Right. I was very scared of flying before I moved. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And I'm not anymore because of touring, but, mm-hmm. Up until I started this current job, I was pretty nervous about air travel.
Yeah.
What did you do to like calm down?
Alcohol.
Yeah.
Okay. That's a good one.
And then I got a prescription for Ativan, and that helps more than alcohol now.
Yeah. For sure.
I took a Xanax and had two glasses of red wine before my flight home from Hawaii, and I spilled red wine all over the aisle, and Jen said it's the only time she's ever been embarrassed of me.
Wow. I mean, that's incredible. I mean, there's so many times you could be embarrassed of you in just that one.
There you go.
I was obviously very dry. I didn't have shoes on. Like, I was just a mess. No. It was a terrible situation. The flight hadn't taken off yet. We had gotten first class, and I was just drunk in first class as people were walking by with wine everywhere.
Oh, my God.
So you started to travel after college. You went on some international trips. You did Hawaii. Plane travel.
You guys also do like a lot of group travel.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We do a yearly. Now it's like too big. It's too big of a group. But we started going that. All of those places I listed besides Nashville and Austin are places we went over New Year's. Mm-hmm. And so we would go with our friends Darcy and Jason and then Paul and Lucia. And then after that, just more and more people started joining. And now there's 12 fucking people that go every year.
That's like a lot. Couples, yeah. Right? That's a big group dynamic to manage.
It is a lot. This past year was the... 2 years ago was the first time that it was big enough that at dinner you'd split into two conversations. And that felt like a pretty big shift.
Yeah, that is a shift.
Yeah.
Because you got a long enough table that you really can't have a big talk. So how do you... Here's the insane thing. We've traveled with one other couple mm-hmm. times, but like not really. And like all those times where we're like, hey, we're already doing this trip. Do you want to come on? How are you guys deciding where you're going, what you're doing?
It's we just booked for this coming year because you have to do it really far in advance for this many people. And it's honestly, Jen is good at logistics and likes mm-hmm. doing it.
Yeah.
So we'll get like an email thread going and Jen will just call hundreds of places and like reach out to all these places. It's like a thing that she is very... I think she just gets focused on it. So, you know, I just found out. I was like, oh, we're going to St. Martin. Oh, cool. I didn't have input, but I'm happy. I know that all the people we travel with are very bougie. So wherever we go, we'll be nice and it'll be fine. And so that's also like, because I grew up so poor, I now only know very fancy places and New Hampshire.
Yep.
That's a fun spread.
Yeah.
Amazing. So we did bring you on to like talk about your job.
Oh yeah. So I'd say what would probably be helpful to our audience, huge at the moment, I assume.
Yeah. Is, not just my mom and is my like, manager.
So generally,
and I've already insulted Andrew's family. So you're going to lose some listeners.
Really good.
Oh no, my mom likes you too much for that to affect you.
Oh, really Travis doesn't mean it.
Don't worry.
So like top line, like overall, what does this job entail travel wise? How often are you traveling? How many like cities are you guys doing a year? That kind of thing.
It varies. This year it's a little bit more controlled, so we don't travel for more than a week at a time.
Okay.
Except for in September, we'll be traveling for like 2.5 weeks. Mm-hmm. But it's usually about a week at a time because we all have lives and we don't want to do that.
Right.
And it's also like hard on our partners. Like they keep in mind that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll usually be like we'll leave on a Tuesday, or a Wednesday. We get to the city the day before the show. We'll have a Thursday show in one city, either fly the next morning to a Friday show or drive that night to a Friday show. And then we'll have usually a Sunday show and we'll have Saturday off. So we try to work it out. So we have like a day off in a cool city. So I had a day off in New Orleans earlier this year. We had a day off in Austin earlier this year. Actually, no, my day off was in Houston, which of all the places in Texas I've been, was the place I didn't want the day off.
But oh, no.
Interesting. But yeah, it's a lot of... I'm now like very used to it. I love airports now. I feel like I feel like a little business professional now.
Wow. Say more about loving airports.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
It is. I love shopping malls already.
Okay.
And it's,
why?
I'm trash.
Oh. Yeah.
And like, there's just something very comforting about it, and you get to see all different types of people. It's always very clean. I'm also like good at it now, so I have pre-check. I have clear. Do you guys know about Clear?
The rental scan.
I only know Clear because Clear, they try to sell you Clear.
Yeah.
Like, within the airport or within the plane.
If you're going to... Yeah. Go ahead.
No, it's just like it's the retinal scan and it allows you to skip security almost altogether.
Altogether,
you
basically.
You skip the ID line.
Oh,
so
okay.
Even if you have pre-check, oftentimes there's that ID line and you have to wait for, you know, 10, 15 minutes in that ID line.
Mm-hmm.
And they never use the retinal scan. They take it, but you use your fingerprints. I think they just... The technology hasn't worked.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you do your fingerprints. They do have my data for my eyes, but a private company somewhere owns all of my data. And it's like $150 a year or something like that. But if you're going to fly a lot domestically, it is so great. They do your fingerprints.
What's the roll through time? So say like pre-check is like a 20-minute wait, right? What's clear? It's like zero?
The minute I get to LAX, I'll be through. Not to get through the actual security booth, it doesn't take ever more than 10 minutes, ever.
Whoa.
Because there's never a line for clear. They shuffle you and they move you to the front of the pre-check line right away. And then if you have pre-check already, you don't have to take anything out. You can leave your stuff on. And so while I'm, what I do now is when I'm going from the lift to the clear line, I'll put everything that I have as I'm walking into my backpack.
Okay.
So because you don't need to take an ID out besides your phone. And then you show them your boarding pass. I put that in like the pocket of my backpack and I just plop everything on the conveyor belt, and yeah. I'm through in like 10 minutes now.
That is unreal.
Yeah.
It's not every airport has clear, but it works so well in large airports.
Right.
Yeah. Even when we got, because we did Global Entry, which is, it gives you the pre-check privileges.
Right.
But it also means when you come back from international, you don't have to go through customs. You go through like an automated customs. So that's
really
nice.
Will you guys
do
international tour?
We did before I started.
Okay.
And I think it was like logistically a bit exhausting for folks.
Yeah.
We almost did Hawaii and we almost did Australia and we opted out of it this year. I was excited to go to Australia.
Yeah.
But yeah, so we haven't, not since I started.
Cool.
Yeah. But those, even pre-check, like Global Entry for us was such like a life changer of just like, oh, travel doesn't suck as much as I thought it did.
Yeah.
And especially because we lived in New York and now we live here and it's like LAX and JFK are crazy airports where if you hit it wrong, you could be stuck waiting in security for like an hour and a half.
JFK security line is always the longest out of anywhere you could possibly go.
Yeah.
I think it's just they file everybody into that one single line, like that you amass in that big clump and then just randomly it feels like you're thrown to different areas.
Right.
They never really fully explain why it's happening.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, so the security process is like a breeze for you.
Yeah.
What else do you like about the airport?
I go to a lot of lounges.
You live in that lounge life.
I live in the lounge life.
Hashtag lounge life. We'll make that t-shirt.
Yeah.
So sure, honey.
I didn't know about lounge life. That's a good, that's a
good
marketing.
T-shirt, yeah.
I didn't know about lounges at all until 2 years ago, even before, a little bit before I started.
Yeah.
And there was an app that popped up in the app store called Lounge Buddy. And I was like, what? I don't know what this is.
Yeah, Lounge Buddy's a big one.
Yeah. And so it just allows you, it shows you what lounges are in which terminal and what, if you can purchase entry or what you need to get access to it.
Right.
So it's just a little directory for
it.
And then that allowed me to start getting into that world and being like, oh, it's nice to pay, you know, $60 and then have, if I'm there early, which I always am because I like to get there super early, to have a plug and free drinks and like comfortable space. There's fucking showers in some lounges.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like, especially when you're like traveling to nicer airports, some of the lounges are beautiful.
Oh, yeah. I think the best shower I've ever taken in my life was at the Tokyo airport. it was just so nice. Everything
about, the shower thing, especially, I didn't know was a thing.
Yeah. Yep.
And we were on our coming back from our honeymoon, and it was a situation where we had like a 12 hour layover
after
in Tokyo.
We had to stay up until 2 or 3 in the morning to catch our flight.
Yeah.
To
so
Tokyo.
It was like red eye to wait all day to take another red eye. Mm-hmm. And we were like, fuck. And so, but we went in and it was like these beautiful showers in like the Air Japan lounge. And they were like your own basic, like little bathroom.
Yeah.
And like, you could like shower and like take a shit and like, like have so much privacy in like a place where you're never having privacy.
And then the lounge was like unbelievable. Andrew and I were the only people in there. And
we were in the Cathay Pacific lounge.
In the Cathay Pacific lounge. And this woman like took us over and was like, I think you would like to sit near the window here. This seat has the best view.
Yes. And she was like, people have talked about this. It's the Cathay Pacific at Haneda Airport in Tokyo. And they were like, it's one of the nicest, like if you read Lounge Buddy or something, the reviews, they'll be like, this is one of the nicest lounges I've ever been to.
And you were just alone in there?
It was just us. Because we were like, Haneda's kind of a commuter airport in some ways. So like it didn't have a ton of traffic, at least when we were there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like beautiful bar, like wood bar, like leather couches. And mm-hmm. like, then they had a separate noodle bar where a chef was, we were the only ones. He was like, what noodles would you like? And like made us noodles. And then we went back and got like more and more noodles. But yeah. like lounge, same thing. Like until I, like 6 months ago when I got a credit card that has like lounge access associated.
Yeah.
Which
one do you get?
I have the Chase Sapphire Reserve one, which I really like. And it gives you priority pass access.
Priority pass is great.
Yeah.
Which that helps internationally so much.
So totally. Much. Almost, we flew a ton when we were on our honeymoon, and like every airport we're in, even smaller ones, had a lounge of some kind, which even if they're not nice, at least you can get like food and a drink and like chill out.
Mm-hmm. It's worth it even if you're paying more than you would pay anywhere else, just to be like, I have a chair where I feel like I have privacy and I can relax. I don't feel sweaty and there's not like children like vomiting in front of me. Yeah. There's sometimes children yelling in those things, but it's often like you feel at least comfortable in some way.
Right.
Yeah. Whereas airports very much gave me a lot of anxiety earlier in life. Mm-hmm. Even when I was flying like semi-regularly, like New York to LA, I was just like, well, this sucks. This whole thing sucks. And it was like, actually, if you like get there early and go to the lounge and like have a drink, it's not bad. It's like a very enjoyable, well, quote in quotes, enjoyable experience.
Yeah.
I will say, like, my favorite thing at T5, the JetBlue terminal at JFK, like, they really are on, like, I feel like it's a testing ground for new snacks. Yeah. So they always have these random brands selling, like, random snacks. Like, I remember that was the first place I saw, like, olives in a little package with, like, hummus or something.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they're really on, like, every brand that, like, wants to be on Shark Tank is at Terminal 5. Yes. So I love getting there a little bit early to be like, what's going to be the hot new snack?
That's really
cool. So you're getting there early. You're an early person. I'm an early person. You are not an early person. And it drives me insane.
We're working on it.
Is it an anxiety thing that you get there early?
100%.
Yeah. And you just don't want to waste your time there.
Correct. I just feel like if there
was... You don't care so much now that we have some lounge access.
Sure. Like, if I have lounge access, that's great. But I am just like, if I could do what you're talking about of, like, get out of the car, go through security, and walk onto the plane, great. Like, the less time I have to spend in the airport, the better.
Well, which is why we often... We can, like, reach a middle ground by flying out of, like, a small airport. Like, we fly out of Burbank a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, there could never be a wait more than 15 minutes at Burbank.
Impossible.
So it's like, it just couldn't happen. There's not enough flights. So,
but I also grew up going to like a, you know, like second tier market airport where like security was never bad.
Right.
So only later in life have I like missed a flight. Cause
I've never
like
missed a flight.
I've never missed a flight, but I've gotten there way too early plenty of times had to spend like 3 hours in an airport. Well, I also now live an hour away from LAX, so I always feel like I have to overshoot it.
Oh, yeah.
LAX is tricky because I feel like you hit most of the traffic when you get there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I cannot wait for that tram to be built.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's going to be a dream. The biggest goof I ever had getting to the airport was, again, Terminal 5, leaving New York.
T5.
Put Terminal 5 into my Lyft app and then was like, why am I going up the West Side Highway? And realized I had put in Terminal 5, the concert venue, instead of Terminal 5 JFK.
Yep.
Realized they had got on the next latest flight, but called Andrew and was like, don't make fun of me at all. I'm getting on the next flight, but don't laugh at me.
I feel like that's got to be common. Right?
Oh, right?
It's called, like, Terminal 5.
It must be very... It's like me and like a bunch of European tourists being like, where is the airport? And they're like, sorry, the XX is here tonight.
Yeah.
I also... I mean, it's a good show to see. Yeah. I also just upgraded to Amex Platinum, which gets you access to any Centurion lounge.
Yes. This is a whole thing for people that don't or haven't done this, is like you can get these kind of like additional rewards on credit cards. And a lot of them, if they're like a travel card, it'll be like lounge access at an airport or like a statement credit that pays for like your pre-check or whatever it is. So, I mean, if you travel a lot, these cards, and some of them are not like a high fee per year or something like that, but they're awesome. I think they've really improved the way that we travel.
I never use my Amex, and I upgraded specifically for the Centurion lounges because the Amex has lounges all over the place.
Yeah.
And their lounges tend to be really nice too. Sometimes they're crowded because you just need to have an Amex to get in. But it's nice.
Okay. Like any Amex can get in.
You need a Platinum to get in.
So when you get there early, you pop into a lounge. What's your game plan when you're there? Are you eating in that lounge?
I guess it depends. Yeah. It depends on the amount of time. I've stopped drinking as much in the lounges. I used to drink more often, but I think with work, I travel so often in the morning now that I'm usually doing... I eat a lot of fucking oatmeal on the road.
Uh-huh.
I eat so much oatmeal on the road. I have...
Preferred brand?
Whatever the hotel gives me. Okay. Oh man, I had some gross oatmeal in Des Moines last month.
That's sad.
Oh yeah. I mean, I have a very
and the thing is, they're growing travel. A lot of oats out there. What's going on?
Are they?
I don't know.
Man, if I go to a hotel now and they don't have like proper room service, I am furious in a way that like I am such a petulant. I need to speak with your manager person now because I'm just so used. I mean, I don't say that, but I want to.
Yeah.
Like if I get there and there's no room service at night and there's no robe in the room, I am a little boy.
You're just upset.
I get it in the sense where like room service never made sense to me until we started traveling more, where it's like, oh, you might roll into a town that doesn't have late night food options, mm-hmm. that doesn't have easy access. You probably don't have a car.
Right.
And it's like, so you could order Domino's, I guess, or like you have to order room service. Like it's really like you get there early or late. You're like, yeah, I am eating this food. So like, please do a good job.
Yeah. I am in hotels now. I eat almost all of my breakfasts in the morning from room service, and I'll order room service to be my wake up call. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like most places have those door knockers now for overnight. And I'll always order oatmeal because I have a bad stomach and I know it won't make me have to shit during the show.
Yeah. Right. And it's also like pretty dependable, like pretty hard to fuck up a bowl of oatmeal unless apparently you are in Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah. They just like didn't, it was like made, I don't know what it was. It seemed like pre-made and then they put a bunch of like sugary figs in it. It was just gross. Fun. It was a shitty whatever. Normally they can't fuck up oatmeal. And I get a pot of coffee and oatmeal and I wake up from someone knocking on my door to bring me food, which is a very nice way to wake up.
You That's know, nice.
Hot coffee the moment you wake up. Like you don't have to worry about it. Sometimes it's weird because I sleep naked and I'll have to quickly put on clothes.
Yep.
but it's, I do that and I work for 2 hours in my room every morning while I eat. And
nice.
I get to write it off too, which is nice.
Right. Yeah. So is it like a per diem situation? Like they give you a per diem for the show?
No. So I think I have a limit, but I've never hit it, but it's just, any receipts expense it after the fact.
Sure.
And I never do it. I just did 6 months, 2 weeks ago.
Oh, like so it's not like before. Me where the one time for very briefly, I was, the head writer at a digital media place. And they gave me a credit card, and that first day they gave it to me, I went out and spent $400 on it.
Like, did you buy everyone drinks?
I kept buying people drinks, and they took away my card the next day. They were like, no. Technically, they were like, you can't use it anymore this month, so we're taking it away. And then I ended up moving to LA after that, so... Oh.
That's so funny. That sounds like something you would do.
It was well worth it. We had a great night.
Nobody should give you access to like corporate money.
Yes, yeah, that's true. So lounge life, back to lounge life hashtag. Yeah. And so you get there early. What about plane seating? What's your like? Are you an aisle man?
You gotta go aisle.
Yeah, I think I'm an aisle man now because I pee too much.
Yeah, that's
wanna
exactly
get up.
Why.
Okay.
And I don't, and I'm too, this also might be like you, too anxious to be like, can you please move?
Yeah. More than once you feel like an asshole.
Yeah.
It truly, even if the flight's like 8 hours, people are like, oh, you're getting up again.
Here's what I do. Every flight, before I get on the plane, get a giant smart water, like the tall, thin one, because that fits in the seatbelt pocket.
Yeah.
And then I get either a Kind bar or a Clif bar, something like that. That's like something I can eat as a snack that isn't too disgusting.
Yeah.
Because plane food is often bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll get gum because I always feel like I have bad breath on planes. Yep. And I feel bad for my neighbor. Every single flight, I get those
same
things.
You're so considerate,
Travis. and then I'll always drink that entire water on the flight, so I have to pee like crazy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I still get water from them when they come around, too. I'll drink so much
water.
Why not?
It's free.
Yeah.
You should try do you do compression socks? We talk about this a lot on the podcast.
Yeah, we're a big
fan,
especially if you're going to be on a flight that's like more than three hours.
More than a couple hours. Because they always say like, oh, like you'll get up and your legs will hurt and you'll be tired when you get off the flight.
Plus as a petite person, like my feet don't touch the ground a lot of times in airplane seats. So then just gravity's like pulling my bones down.
So we found this like Instagram brand.
We, what a laugh. I bought them for you.
But they're called like Comrade. Communist a little bit.
Okay.
Comrade. So Comrade, but they're like, you know, like cute compression socks.
They're like navy blue with yeah, like red.
They're just
toes.
Normal. And so we've been using those. And honestly, my legs feel so much better.
Really?
Yeah. Like I feel way more like awake. I don't feel like tired and like groggy.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. And we do them when we do like really long drives, like when we drive to Albuquerque or something, we also wear them.
That's interesting. Cause I do notice on the cross country flights, that's when I notice it. Cause we take a lot of shorter flights, like 2-3, and those aren't. I'm fine on those flights.
Yeah.
But the cross country ones are always, you feel like shit afterwards. Yeah.
Are you doing carry on only on these?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
What's your packing strategy? Are you like packing cubes? You're not on stage, right?
No.
Okay.
I participate though. Cause I have to like walk around with a microphone and like, I'm always feeling like people are watching me because there's 3,000 people looking mm-hmm. at me in that moment. So I do try to bring somewhat nice stuff.
Yeah.
I do use packing cubes. That's a new thing.
Yeah.
Something that I learned early on in this process is I want to unpack at every hotel fully the moment I get there.
Oh, okay. Oh.
And so what that helps me with is I'm a very anxious person, and there's something about coming back from working in a strange city and your shit just being everywhere and you don't feel relaxed the moment you're there. But if I unpack immediately the moment I land, and then I like tuck everything away and the room is clean and nice when I get back.
Are you saying like putting clothes in drawers? Yep. Oh, wow. I don't think I've ever done that.
But what I was going to say is the packing cubes make that very easy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I got these packing cubes. So I put like my underwear and socks in one, and I put my shirts in another one, and I roll up my jeans. And then when I land, I just take the packing cube out and put it in the drawer.
Yeah.
And then I put the suitcase in the closet or whatever. And then everything's already unpacked. Like with the packing cubes, you can unpack in 10 seconds, you hang up what you need to hang up, maybe 3 or 4 shirts.
Yeah.
And then the rest just goes in the drawer and you can feel like things aren't scattered around. And I also then, as I travel, one of those packing cubes will get emptier, the shirt one, and I'll start using that for laundry. Or I'll steal a laundry bag and bring that with me between cities.
Right.
And so I always just have one laundry bag from each hotel with me.
Yeah. That's a good tip.
That's a good tip.
Yeah. I feel like we make a huge mess of any room
we're in. I think I was thinking about this, and I think it's because like I'm really strict about tidiness in our own home. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I think when we're on vacation, we're just like, whatever.
Yeah.
Also, people pick up for you.
Yeah.
When you're
Which is really nice.
It's really nice.
I'm now the type of person who, I always have the door knocker on in the hotel in the morning. Because I'm working. And so when...
You mean the do not disturb
sign? The do not disturb. Okay. Yeah. So when I leave now, because sometimes it happened where they wouldn't come in the afternoon to clean.
Right.
And so now before I leave to go to the venue, I always call down. I'm like, hi, I'm going to be gone for a few hours. Do you mind cleaning the room? And it like... I want a pristine room when I come back from the venue. Uh-huh. Yeah. I'm exhausted.
I get that though. I like really like tonight we're leaving on a flight tomorrow to go to Hawaii and I'm going to clean the fuck out of this house because I don't like coming home to a dirty house.
Really, you're really big on that.
Well, like, it's just like if we've been on a 6-hour flight and we've been traveling and we feel grimy, like the last thing I want to do is like get into a bed with dirty sheets.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Hard pass.
I don't understand the people who don't want their sheets changed or their bed made or whatever.
I know.
Like it's crazy in a hotel. Like, I guess you don't want people to go into your room, but you have the option to have clean sheets every day.
Yeah, it's a miracle.
I think that is people are like, oh, I don't want them like touching or looking at my stuff.
But there's safes in every room.
Like, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so you fly.
You're on the plane.
You're on the plane.
What's your entertainment game?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, interesting. It depends on how
long a flight.
Yeah. I have a Nintendo Switch now, and I love the Nintendo Switch.
Oh, yeah.
Because you can play full console games on the road. So I can play, like, Zelda on my TV.
Can you load media on it, too? Like, movies and stuff?
I think you can get Netflix and stuff on it. I've never done it.
Yeah.
I do a lot of murder podcasts, which I find are very helpful on the road.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything like narrative is nice to like to chug along with.
Right. We listened to Live and Die in LA on your recommendation.
Oh yeah. What did you think? The host is the most annoying person on the
planet. Well, that was our problem.
When he was like promo code Strauss Heads, we were both like,
also he's the guy
he's the pickup artist guy.
Yes, I know. So were like, the problem is I said, this is a classic example of like, I actually don't care how bad the host is because the story, like when he got to it, was so perfect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, ugh, I'm going to listen to this all because you really like, you caught lightning in a bottle.
He did some stuff that is repulsive on that show where like a person just found out their friend had killed themselves and then he called them and they were like, I don't want to talk to you right now. And then he goes, wow, seems suspicious.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
the person is crying because their friend is dead. Oh, yeah. What the fuck? And then in the end, that person had nothing to do with anything. You were just an asshole to them publicly.
Yeah. Right. I really like when the dad was like, yeah, my son killed himself. Maybe it was because he was jealous of me. It was like, whoa, what? Like,
that dad rules. He's not in jail. He can come after us at any moment.
Oh, yeah. My God. Yeah. Yikes, guys.
Yikes. And he, where did that take place? Oh, upstate somewhere, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well.
By Sacramento.
Please don't come after us. So entertainment-wise, you're doing
murder
whatever.
Podcast, you're doing the Switch.
I do a lot of working on the plane. So it'll be like,
I can never, like, I feel too cramped with that.
I don't have a choice anymore. Yeah. Like, if we have 3 or 4 shows in a week, I have to write, for Love It or Leave It, I have to write an entire hour and a half long show. And then for Pod Save America, I have to write a game for each show. Uh-huh. And so that's, I'm working constantly. I have to write while I'm in hotel rooms, while I'm on planes.
Right.
So usually the first 2 hours on my flight out of LA, I'll be writing as much as I can ahead of time, sending it off and getting notes so that I can rewrite things based on notes in the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say the majority of time I'm writing, and then after that I don't want to look at screens.
Right.
So I'll do a lot of podcasts, or if I want to watch something, I'll download on my laptop sometimes.
Right.
But I also have the wireless headphones, and I always forget to bring
the aux cord.
Thank you very much. I'm going to write that down to remember to bring my cable.
Yeah, that is like a big disconnect, literally, right now, where it's like you can't enjoy in-flight entertainment, so you just end up watching other people's movies.
Well,
because
with Netflix, you can download movies and TV shows if it's like a tablet or your phone.
You can't do it on your laptop,
which is so annoying, but... So I just download to my phone, like, a bunch of movies to my phone, and, like, there are these... I'm going to buy one. There's, like, things you can buy to, like, basically hang your phone off the back of an airplane seat.
I've seen people who have that,
But, right, normally I just, like, prop it up. I put my tray table down, and I prop it up, and that's totally fine.
Yeah, but better for your neck to have it at eye level.
Yes, 100%. Yeah. Okay, so you land. So your work is, like... Sounds like at least half, if not more, of your time is work-related there.
Yeah. And I don't really drink on the planes anymore just because, I'm with coworkers and stuff. Like, it's not a fun plane.
Right.
The airport's more fun to me than the plane is.
Right.
Yeah.
What is your favorite airport?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm. I mean, I want to say Denver because I love the conspiracy theories around the Denver airport.
Yes.
And I like to look at all of the crazy Illuminati murals that are everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I that's an interesting question. I also want to say Burbank just because I love getting in and out in 10 minutes.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't have a good answer.
Okay. All right. Jury's still out.
Yeah. But so you get there. How are you guys like? So not counting work, not work related. How are you figuring out how you want to spend your time there? Like, how are you finding activities? How are you finding restaurants? Like, that kind of thing.
The thing that I use more than anything on the road for this is Goop Guides. Goop City Guides are incredible.
We're very pro Goop here.
It is, like, I was so embarrassed when I first did that. But if I have 12 hours in Dallas, Texas, I want a nice meal. I also, on my day off, I try not to hang out with my coworkers, even if they're doing something. Just because I'm working on weekends, I want a day to, like... not see the people. They're my friends, but I don't want to see them all the time.
Yeah. And it's nice to just have like a boundary.
Yeah. And so on Goop, I'll find 1 or 2 restaurants and I'll see what they have available. And I'll usually just go eat by myself at one of these restaurants. And then I'll go to like either the hotel bar or another bar. And I'll usually just have like a martini and then I'll go to sleep. So it's like I try to find a restaurant that's far away from my hotel. So I get a sense of it.
Uh-huh.
And then I'll take a lift or whatever to the hotel or walk. Or I do a lot of bird scooters because they're everywhere now.
Oh.
And so now I'm very pro them in certain aspects.
Yeah.
And they're very helpful on the road because I don't have a car. So I can travel 2 miles or whatever on this thing.
Yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah. We can always cut this, but I think a bit you do that's very funny is where you go to a very sad place in a city and then take a photo, have like a stranger, I assume, take a photo of you. Like you went in Dallas, you went to the grassy knoll and like had a photo of you taken on your bird scooter, which I think is so funny.
Yeah.
But
I got put on Bird Graveyard on that. I was very proud.
Oh, that's right.
What's Bird Graveyard?
You got to get on Bird Graveyard. Bird Graveyard is... Now, they don't just put bird scooters on it anymore, but it's an account for, like, You know when you see like a bird scooter like thrown into a river or like trashed or whatever? Right. It's like people, when people do that thing of like, oh, I'm going to destroy this scooter because like corporate Silicon Valley, fuck you.
It's just teens destroying bird scooters in escalatingly funny ways.
Yeah.
And there's actually like reports out that they're losing so much money to vandals at this point. Like they are... They did not expect how much people would just straight up destroy their products.
That's so funny.
Yeah.
Although, this is very different, but I just remember working in a restaurant in New York City to the point where we had to glue down the art in the bathroom because people took it every day. Yeah. And it was like Bed Bath & Beyond level shit. Like, it was not nice, but people were just like, mine, and put it in their purse and left. Yeah.
There's something very, especially the bird scooters, but I could see it in a restaurant too, where it's like, well, it's a faceless person I'm ripping off.
Right.
Yeah. Bird scooter is just, they don't, the company doesn't make any money. It's venture capitalists I'm ripping off at this point. Who gives a shit if I throw this off of a bridge? I mean, throwing it into a river is one thing because you're polluting a fucking river.
Right.
But I'm going to smash it and then hang it from a tree. I don't give a shit.
Yeah. It's really funny. It's a great
theft
account.
Theft has been a runner so far on the show.
So you do that. You do your bird scooter bit.
Yeah.
What else are you trying to do? Like, how are you finding stuff? What's like, what... If you saw it on Goop, what would appeal to you?
You know, it's interesting. If I'm in a place like, well, I know Austin well enough now that I know places that I'll go. So I'll go to like Veracruz Tacos in Austin.
Sure, love it.
And so I try to find things that match the vibe of the city a little bit. But it's hard in some cities because some cities are just, you know, I've been surprised by a lot of places that are like cooler than I anticipated. Mm-hmm. But there's so much right now. There's a running joke now of me and some of the crew people on tour where anytime we get into a lift from an airport or just like somewhere going back to our hotel, the Lyft driver always is like, yeah, it's crazy. You didn't used to go around this neighborhood. It was just all factories. And now look at it. And in every single fucking city, it's just condos in the place where there used to be factories. And they all look the same fucking way with Edison bulbs. Like the whole thing about Key Boston Weird doesn't count anymore. Austin is everywhere. It's just what cities look like now is exposed wood and Edison bulbs, and there's restaurants where you have a tiny glass and they give you a big thing of water and you pour your own water. So in some ways Goop sometimes sends me to homogenous restaurants a little bit, and so I have to either find something that feels like, sometimes Goop will say things like you know, it's it may not feel as bougie as you want or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and I'll try to find those little places that are good that aren't as high end. But sometimes you want a nice fucking meal that is just a Caesar salad with shrimp, and you know it's going to be there.
Yeah, and like a steak that's medium rare and a restaurant that's clean.
Yes.
Yeah. We were talking about this a little bit with Mary Lord as well, like the sort of like Instagramification of cities, especially in the US, where it's like we're all watching Fixer Upper, so we're all making every space look like that.
It really feels like it, and you might know this because you've been to a lot more cities than we have, of like it really funnels people to the same places in a way that then creates this like confirmation bias like system of like, oh, if I went there, then I'll leave a review that says it was good. Because like, if I don't, then I'll sound like an idiot because I wasted my time there. So we've just found it's like legit hard to find good places.
Yeah, at least places that aren't packed with people, especially for breakfast and brunch.
Yeah,
like it is almost impossible to go somewhere nice and not have there be a wait in any city for breakfast. And it's part of the reason I tend to eat in the hotel room. It's just like, there's only so many really good breakfast places. They're all written about in the same fucking publications. Mm-hmm. And they all serve the same shit, too. So, it's...
You can only get so many, like, two eggs with a side of mixed greens.
Yeah, exactly. So avocado toast.
In terms of what
which gets a bad rap. I hate that avocado toast is such
avocado toast is awesome. We eat avocado toast at home all the time.
It's like such a, like, these millennials, we're all in fucking debt. Who gives a shit?
It's so funny to object to avocado toast because it's like... all of y'all will say that you like guacamole, and you'll all say you like toast. So what is the problem here?
It's like participation trophies. It's just like a thing that people got upset about because it's like, why would it be $11? Because fucking guacamole is expensive everywhere.
Yeah.
Guacamole is expensive in every restaurant.
It's like the same way that people felt about like Starbucks, like when You've Got Mail came out and it was like, these fucking assholes, there's Starbucks on every corner. And it's like, but Starbucks
is good. That's why we go.
Yeah. It does feel like a conservative thing now where they're just behind behind and they think avocado toast is cool and new. And it's like, yeah. we've been eating avocado toast for a long time.
For like seven yeah. or 8 years.
No, yeah. I remember when I went home for the first time and there was like a cupcake bakery. And I was like, oh no, yeah. this has been happening for a while. But mm-hmm.
That's how it works. Down. You gotta go first tier, second tier markets, yeah. blah, blah, blah.
What have been those cities that Hell surprised yeah. you?
There's been a couple of them. Let me think a little bit. I remember the first one that really surprised me was Columbus, Ohio.
Really?
I went to Columbus, Ohio, and I was like, this is beautiful. I don't know if it was where I stayed, mm-hmm. But there was we stayed in a nice hotel. I don't remember what it was, but it was right by the river, and there we performed in this beautiful theater, and it was a brand new river run park, and I went on a run like just through the river, and it's kind of like Pittsburgh-y where there's a lot of old bridges, but it was just a beautiful new. I was only there for 8 hours, and I remember being like, Columbus is beautiful.
Yeah.
And I felt the same way about San Antonio, where I went and had no opinion of San Antonio. Zero opinion of San Antonio. Yeah,
except you love the Spurs.
The big Manu Ginobili yep. fan. And I went and was just like, this is one of the coolest cities I've ever been to. It's got a vibe that I haven't experienced in any other city. Have either of you been to San Antonio?
Mm-hmm. I've never been.
I didn't know about the Riverwalk. I didn't know how Mexican the city was.
Yeah.
And it just feels like you're living... I mean, it was Mexico. You're in a Mexican city. The architecture is Mexican. And then, like, there's this beautiful Riverwalk with a bunch of nice restaurants that just go out on the river. Mm-hmm. And everyone's just hanging out in these... It's a little, like... Universal City Walk a little bit mm-hmm. now, but you still get a vibe of like why it was so cool when it wasn't that.
Right.
And it was just a beautiful city that I had. What's nice is I get to go into cities with no opinion of and either be blown away by it or be like, yeah, that makes sense. Like Des Moines a little bit. If I had 24 hours in Des Moines, I would have loved it. But we had 3 days in Des Moines. And at that point, I was like, I've seen literally everything.
Right.
I got to go to Pride in Des Moines, which was fun. It was cool to go to a small town Pride.
How was that?
It was really sweet. Like Aww. The thing that struck me the most was there were a lot of like tough guy Midwest dads with their gay kids. And they were like dressed still in like tough guy stuff with like backwards hats and goatees. But they were just there with their gay kid. I was like, it's so sweet to imagine this like guy who definitely owns a bunch of guns on the road.
And he was like, I can't this weekend. I have to go to Pride.
Yeah, with my sweet lesbian daughter. Yeah. Like, it was just so nice to... What's fun about I mean, it's a liberal-leaning podcast. It's all of the Obama guys who run it. And it's nice to go to these cities where you think of as conservative places. And those shows are always the best because people are so excited. It's like church in a way where like you can finally let yourself be the way that you want to be openly. People are insane at those shows.
Yeah, you can be vocal about it. Whereas like the rest of your life, you have to be like, I know you just said this horrible thing that Trump said, but I'll just say nothing and like walk away.
Oh man, Jen just did. Jen did an insane thing in Santa Monica. We saw a guy with a MAGA hat on at a bar in Santa Monica at like this touristy fucking restaurant called the Seafood Grill or something like that.
Uh-huh.
It's good food, but he was just sitting at the bar for a long time. And Jen just over the course of the dinner got like worked up that he was there. And on the way out, I was at the valet and she's like, I'm going to go say something. And the car gets pulled up. And so I have to like get into my car Jen goes back into the thing and she comes back out and she had this big smile on her face. I was like, what happened? She was like, well, he was sitting alone, just talking to this other person. There was no one next to him. And I went, is this seat taken? And he goes, no. And she goes, she said, is anyone sitting here? And he goes, no. And she goes, do you think it's because you fucking suck? Which is so fucking funny. Like, don't hit him on politics. Just be like, you are a shitty, lame person. You suck.
And like, I love that, like, this person obviously, guess what? This is a left-leaning podcast. Yeah. That person does suck.
Yeah.
But it's so funny to be like just a dude sitting at a bar and then like somebody walks up to you and it's just like, hey, you suck.
And then like he regained his composure a little bit and realized what was happening. He was like, well, we all have opinions. And she's like, and yours fucking suck.
Yeah. That's so funny.
Wow. Good
of course
one,
it's
Jen.
A left-leaning podcast. It's a travel podcast.
Yes.
That's true. So San Antonio, Columbus, Ohio. Are there any others that stood out?
I'm just thinking of ones that I didn't like think of and then were great. Like,
it's not like being like, oh, Austin was so fun. It's like,
were there
we know
any
Austin is
where
fun.
You were like, as long as I live, so help me God, I'm never coming here again.
Yes. Well, I don't have a choice sometimes to tour. Phoenix. Sure. I hated Phoenix. Mm-hmm. I really hate Houston. Dallas was one that everyone told me I'd hate, and I love Dallas.
Oh,
all times I've gone to Dallas, I love it. It's so there's a little bit like Old South, like opulent shit. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of like chandeliers. There's a lot of people who are very dressed up. Mm-hmm. So I'll wear like sweatpants on a plane and I'll come in with just like my, like a ratty t-shirt and sweatpants. And we stay in somewhat nice hotels and it'll just be like these very rich people. Like, how did this tattooed man get in here? But there's some very cool, we stayed in a hotel last year in Dallas. That's one of my favorite hotels we stayed in, this place, The Jewel. And it's this art museum hotel. There's a museum in a basement and the spa is in the museum. And there's like across the street, there's this huge eyeball statue, just a giant park eyeball. It's a massive eyeball. It's so cool. There's just weird art everywhere.
Okay.
It's a beautiful hotel. I really like Dallas. It's a much cooler city than I thought. I think maybe just there's money there. And so there's
a lot of
art.
Did you go to North Park?
Where is that?
North Park is in Dallas. And I remember when it opened, it's a mall, right?
But
it's
like, I didn't go there.
Fancy mall. And I remember when it opened, they bought like a 4-page spread in American Vogue. And I was like, wow, like I was still in high school, like I still love the mall, but like, I was like, this is the mall of malls. This is so nice. Yeah. There's some like really nice shit in Dallas.
There's some, I think Dallas is a big city. It's a very, like populous city, but I think there's a little bit of like little brother syndrome with it. Cause I think Houston's a bigger city. But when I was in The Jewel, that hotel, when you turn on the TV in the hotel, instead of like what's on the movies, mm-hmm. it's an ad for the hotel. And it's telling you all about how Dallas is like people use Dallas now in the same breath that they talk about Paris or New York when it comes to art.
Oh, that's
it's
so like, funny.
Dallas is one of the greatest art cities in the world.
That's really like, funny. Is it? That's so funny.
Just a loop of an ad for the hotel you're already in.
It's my hilarious. Only Dallas experience is every time I've had to fly through the Dallas airport, I've been delayed. Every single time.
The Dallas airport's pretty grim. It whenever we had to go to the East Coast, everything was through DFW.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay. Yeah. Most a lot of like Chili's too.
Yes. Oh yeah. What's your highlight and lowlight of eating in airports?
I mean, highlight, you know, you go to the lounge, you get something.
Yeah, lounge life.
Get some lounge life. Okay, lounge, hashtag lounge
I do. If I have to eat it in like, I'll just get McDonald's.
Yeah.
It feels like a way that it's an excusable way to eat McDonald's. McDonald's is great.
Yeah.
When you, like,
it's great.
It tastes so good. Yeah. You're going to feel shitty afterwards. But if I'm going to eat terrible food, you know what I also do if I'm going to sit at like an airport bar, if I can't get into a lounge, I'll just get like a burger at an airport lounge. Those are always worse than McDonald's, though.
Yeah.
Like, I'd rather eat at McDonald's, but if I want to drink, I'll get like a shitty burger or whatever.
Yeah. There's some a lot
like
of
frozen steak
when
fries.
When we've traveled, Burger King is very big in airports. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you've seen this, but Burger King is very big. And like the only time I've ever eaten Burger King in like in the last like 20 years.
Oh,
is
in
at
Asia, you had Burger King.
Yeah, exactly. Like Burger King.
We had Burger King in where were we? Oh, we were in Ireland and we had Burger King.
Yeah. Burger King's like weirdly a super international. Like you think like, why is Burger King still up there with like those other chains? Because like, I don't know anyone who eats at Burger King. like if you have these options of like McDonald's or like especially In-N-Out or like Shake Shack or like these places, it's like, oh, I'd always choose McDonald's over Burger King.
No matter
but
what.
Burger King's in the airport. Sometimes you got to eat Burger King.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you have to get a sad quick meal because your flight is in 20 minutes, there's no reason not to get McDonald's.
Yeah.
You can get it and eat it before you board very quickly.
Yeah.
And it tastes good. And you know, you always want McDonald's even if you're not allowed to have it.
Yes.
So it's a good excuse to do it.
Yeah, totally. It's like a maritime law. Like there's no rules in
the airport. Exactly.
Yes. I guess there are rules in the ocean. So never mind. I was wrong. I remember flying back from New York when I was in college and it always felt like Dallas was where people would start to be nice again. Like when I was flying back from New York, somebody inevitably in the Southwest line would be like, where are you coming from? And I would be like, why are you speaking to me or looking at me? Like, no. So that's my memory of the Dallas airport.
Yeah.
A lot of airports blur together, but you are right that the vibe of the city is very much, you learn it by the Hudson News person, like whether or not that person is talking to you or asking you questions. And I always forget when I go back to the East Coast that like you're not supposed to be friendly to people.
Yeah, you've got to put that guard like right back up.
Yeah.
In terms of like,
there's gotta be one other shitty city. I said Phoenix.
Phoenix.
Oh yeah. Phoenix.
There's another one. There's another really bad one.
The Phoenix airport makes me so angry because it's so big.
It's so spread out. Like you'll get off your flight. one time we had to switch planes there, and it was like legit a 30-minute walk between our flights.
And we were like, we're going to go to Wendy's, and we walked like 2 miles to the Wendy's.
And then it was close. And then we got McDonald's, baby.
Yeah. Let me think. There's got to be at least one other city that was terrible. I had it.
Have you done like Pacific Northwest at all?
We did right when I started. I like it. I like those places. I'd never been to Seattle. Yeah. I've been to every... We don't travel to any of the Midwest, really.
Okay.
I'm going to Salt Lake next month.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I've never been there. And we just went to Iowa. That's the most Midwest we've gone. But all of like the Nebraska, Kansas places...
They're not listeners?
No, they're not. Yeah. New Mexico also, I guess.
I know. It's a bummer. Yeah. There are Democrats there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'll think of another shitty story.
Okay, cool.
Okay.
In terms of like highlights of activities you've done, like when you travel, like besides your bird scooter bit, which we all love, is like what's like a day you spent in a city where you're like, oh, this was awesome. Like this was a great day.
I had really... a lot of fun in Nashville and New Orleans.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're both like day drinking places.
Yeah.
So those were places where I did hang out with my coworkers and I got to like experience what it's like to be a full blown tourist in those places.
Yeah.
And I had never been to New Orleans and it's the most fun place on the planet.
Oh, yeah.
And then Nashville, we just did that honky tonk life where you go and you bop around and listen to live music. And those are the two cities that stand out as like really great. Just like 12 hours falling asleep very early because I was drinking all day. Nashville, I was like, oh, I could live here. It's a beautiful city.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. Yeah. My sister went to college there and I remember visiting her and being like, this is what it's like in Tennessee.
Yeah. In terms of like other travel tips, because we'll start to wrap up a little bit. But
let's see if I wrote anything down.
In terms of like travel tips, like love the lounge life advice. What are you, and they don't even have to be tips that you think are applicable to everyone.
Also, I was going
to
ask you, like, do you get lonely? And then, like, what do you do?
I can answer that question honestly. masturbation is the joke
great.
I was making.
Yes. Got it.
No, I mean, it is, there's an element of strangeness to it. What's nice is I'm a very restless person.
Okay.
And I always want to be... like traveling or moving in a direction, like in a way that like, it was something that I discovered later in life, right? I want to have a trip to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
And what's nice is this allows me to always have something to look forward to.
Yeah.
And I don't have to worry about the logistics of it. Like the ticket is taken care of. My car is taken care of. I get to the airport, I get on a plane and everything's fine. And it makes me excited to come home again and like be excited to sleep in my bed. I will say, like, on the longer routes, yeah, it can get lonely. Like, it gets... there's something nice about... I've been with my wife now for 8 years, 9 years.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's something nice about having, like, weeks off from each other. And we both kind of enjoy it and do our own thing.
Yeah.
But, by the end of it, you are a little like, well, I'm cooped up in my hotel room. I'm either drinking or going to sleep. Like, there's not a lot you can do alone at night in cities. And most of my free time is in the evening. So I do a lot of like drinking at bars or hotel bars alone. I like always just have a martini and then go to sleep.
Yeah.
You end up meeting people that way. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't want to meet people.
Mm-hmm.
I met a guy in DC where I was, it's also funny, like the way people dress in nicer places varies in cities wildly.
That's so
and
funny.
So like if I wear a nice t-shirt and jeans in any Western city, no one would bat an eye. But in DC, I went to like a beautiful restaurant on the Georgetown waterfront.
Uh-huh.
And I was sitting at the bar and everyone else had like Oxfords on and suit jackets. And it was like, no one kicked me out. But like at that hotel bar or at that restaurant bar, I was clearly the only person not dressed that way.
Yeah.
But it also made people like feel like they wanted to talk to me in a weird way because I could afford the restaurant.
Right.
But I wasn't like them. And so this old man came up and sat next to me and he was very talkative. And then it turned out that he created that charity Red with the parentheticals.
Oh,
yeah.
He was so rich and he was telling me about all of his different houses. I can say this. And he was, he very much was like actively hitting on me, but has a wife and kids.
Oh.
And I was like, he was talking about how he used to go to Studio 54, and he was talking about like all how coked up he was at Studio 54. Mm-hmm. And I made a joke of like, oh, where can I get that around here? And he was like, well, there's a great gay bar that you should meet me at later. And it's like, oh, you were just telling me about your grandkids, dude.
Oh, boy.
Cool. Travel sounds fun.
Yeah. You do get like, there's a lot of hit on by people that you're not anticipating. You also feel like it's nice to go to cities where you're like, oh, I feel hot here. I don't feel hot in LA.
You're like a Minneapolis 10. Yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure. In Iowa, I was the best you could possibly be.
Wow.
Hell yeah.
I like Minneapolis too. That's a fun city. Minneapolis is beautiful. There's these sky bridges everywhere because in the winter it's too cold.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You walk from building to building and all of the stores are inside in a lot of ways. So there's like forward facing entrances to a lot of places. Uh-huh. And you walk, but it's a really cool city. And the lakes are beautiful or whatever. More hipster of a city than I ever anticipated. Oh. Like very, very cool.
Interesting.
Very Portland, Minneapolis.
Oh, interesting. Oh,
that's cool.
I feel like, is it Milwaukee or Minneapolis? Like wherever the Target headquarters is, I feel like
I think they're in Minneapolis.
It's cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Minneapolis is very cool.
Yeah. All right.
In terms of like travel that you're looking forward to, you have the St. Martin trip.
Yeah.
Are there places, even if they're not planned right now, like places you're like, top of my list is here or here or here that I want to travel?
Yes. Yeah.
Like mine are 100% Italy. I've never been to most of Europe.
Me too.
And I'm a little fat boy for cheese and meat. So like I really want to go eat really well in Italy. And like other than that, like there's a bunch of like Montana we've talked about. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the US we also haven't seen. So like we usually try to go back and forth between domestic and international or something. A, because we can't afford to travel internationally very often.
Yeah.
But Italy is the top of my list right now.
Yeah, I wonder if you feel this way too. I feel a little like I'm playing catch up because I feel like
I do feel that way.
I traveled so little that now I'm like, well, I've never been, I've only been to I've been to four countries in Europe now, but I did it all in a 2-week span. It's the only time I've been to Europe. Oh no, I went to Greece again. So Greece, I guess I was there for a week, but like, there's so many places in Europe I want to go. I've never been to Spain. I've never been to Italy. I've never been to Portugal. I've never been to England.
Uh-huh.
Anywhere. I've been to Ireland and Scotland, but I've never been to England. Like a lot of like the standards I want to go to. I've never been to Mexico.
Yeah.
Now I feel like I hadn't gone anywhere domestically, and this job has let me see a lot of the country, which is really nice and really fun. And I really feel like I get the country in a lot of ways now. Mm-hmm. Although a lot of the cities do feel homogenous, at least on the drives, you get a sense of the cities.
Uh-huh.
But internationally, I do think I would love to go to some places in Europe. And then I've never been anywhere in Asia. So like Japan just in general feels like a place.
Japan's up there for us for sure.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, I do in very much the same way feel like I'm playing catch up of just like, all right, well, I want to see the world before I die, which will happen at some point soon, probably.
Well, and we're also older now, too, and you can only afford, like, one nice trip a year if you can, you know? And so, like, okay, I'm going to go to Italy now, and then I'll never go to Italy again.
Yes.
I guess there's a weird, like, fatalism. Maybe that's the wrong word, but I'm, like, I'm just, when I go, there's almost a sadness of, like, well, I want to go back to those Greek islands. I love those Greek islands. I feel so weird that I'm, like, but then I feel like I can't go back because I have so much finite time. I have one trip a year. Why am I going to go back to Bora Bora, even if it's the most beautiful place I've ever been? I feel like it's weird to go back.
Right.
But at some point, you want to do the same thing over and over again because you know you like it.
Yeah.
And it's also like, and I already did the trial and error work in that place where it's like, now I know what restaurants I like and like, mm-hmm. I know what things I didn't get to do and like what things were a bust and like this like traveling, I agree with you. I really think I only would go to a place once because of like my like envy of wanting to go other places. So it's like, if I don't do really well and if I don't do everything I want to do in that city or that country, then I feel like I've like missed my shot.
It's bittersweet. I think like that's something that's coming up a lot as we record these is like, there is like sort of this bittersweetness of wanting to go and wanting to see the world and wanting to collect and cultivate these experiences, but knowing that like you might not be able to ever do them again, yeah, or to really like go deeper.
Yeah.
Which is hard. But I mean, and it is mostly like a financial question. I find myself wanting
to live in these places.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like I was like, oh, I want to like live in Athens for a month or whatever. It's such a beautiful, weird city. And like, there's a sadness, I think, to it. Cause I'm like, well, I have to be in LA, but in an ideal world, I had infinite money and I can just go to different places each month and live in a new place and not have to worry about a job.
Which is why I get why people who retire like move out of the country. A, because your dollar stretch is way farther. You've already made all your money.
Yeah.
So like, hopefully at that point when you retire and like, then you're like, I've heard a bunch of people who are like, oh, I moved to Belize or I moved to Thailand or I moved to Vietnam or like these places where it's like, and then from there I can like travel around the world, but I have like, I've lowered my cost of living and I can like really spend time traveling. But it's such a thin line because like my parents aren't retired yet. They're probably going to retire like pretty soon and they'll be in their mid 60s roughly. And it's like, you only got about like 10 years where you're still like really mobile as a person. So like, I very much fear that like end game where it's like, oh, now I have money, but like I don't have time or energy or whatever. So I don't want to get to that point and be like, but I still have so much I want to see.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the other part of that is like, you guys were saying you have these memories of going to the same place over and over again, which I think is really beautiful too.
Yeah.
I don't have that. Like there are a few places that I've been. Yeah. We traveled a lot as kids. And I think, you know, my dad's from Europe. So I think it was really important to him and my mom that we had an understanding of like the world as a much bigger place than where we were growing up.
Right.
And we went to Hawaii quite often because that's where my parents met and they decided to like have a place there. And, but it wasn't like we went every summer. Mm-hmm. It wasn't like, I don't have memories like that of, or the way that people talk about like going down the shore or something like that. Like we didn't have that. It was like every summer we would go on a different trip. And so the great thing about it is I've seen a lot of places. The other tough part about it is I don't really have, you know, I was maybe like 11, 12, 13. So I was concerned with very different things. Right. I was just like, when are we getting gelato every single day? And I was like, ugh, another church.
That part of it, that's why when I think back of it, I wish I had money in my 20s. Cause like that felt like a time where I could really appreciate a place and go there. I just really, until my very late 20s, I really had no money to do anything. So it was like, oh, now I'm playing catch up. Mm-hmm. And but going as a kid, like you did, I feel like I would have been even worse where it's like, I wouldn't have appreciated anything.
Oh, for sure.
And it was just like, I would have just been a shitbag who wanted to like eat trash and like go to like whatever the biggest like.
But I also think like that was part of my parents' travel blind spot. Like when my parents, like, they just went to Southeast Asia after we went and we had done all this work to like research.
So much research.
Find we out send all them these delicious. Guide. Yeah. And they didn't go anywhere. They were like, the hotel has a beautiful restaurant. We were like, come on.
That's so funny.
So, you know, like we weren't traveling. We were doing like the hits wherever we went. Like when we went to Barcelona, we went to like everything that's in the guidebook. So
yeah, there's something.
Yeah.
It's nice that you guys have Hawaii that you go back to somewhat often now because it does feel like there's something stressful about visiting a new place where you're like, I gotta see everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like we went to Greece and there was just a day where it was like, well, this has to be the day we see the Parthenon. It's the only day that we can do it.
Yeah.
Or the Acropolis or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, and so there's just this exhaustion of like, well, I also just want to kind of feel like I live in a place and I want to like relax. And there's a part of travel isn't relaxing unless you're going to a place specifically for relaxing. There's a lot of work to be done.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that I didn't realize when I was younger too, of like, if you're going to travel, you got to really make an itinerary and you got to make sure that you're willing to work for it unless you're going to a beach to do nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's why like somewhere like going to New Hampshire every month maybe isn't as bad as I thought, like, because there is something sweet that I knew the ducks.
Yeah.
There was a duck that had a chip in his beak and his name was Chip. And I loved Chip. Mm-hmm. I would bring Chip. And 1 year, Chip didn't come back.
Oh, no. Chip. R.I.P. Chip.
Learning important life lessons as you grow up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tough. I see the value of both now that I've done both.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I do agree with you. I'm not a person who will relax unless it's specifically a trip to relax.
Mm-hmm.
Which we are going to Hawaii tomorrow. Very excited about that. and there's nothing to
and
do
you
there.
You hate the sun,
and
right?
I hate. Well, I do. Well, I hate the beach.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I
remember it's we good went, we're going.
You came to visit LA, and you wanted to go to the beach, and we got a hotel. One
oh
night,
yeah,
remember?
We went down to like Redondo Huntington Beach or Huntington. Oh, Huntington.
And it was like it was very windy, and there's just photos of Andrew sitting next to the pool, just covered in like blankets and sunglasses and a hood, just hating it. But he requested going.
Yeah, you
That's
wanted
true.
To go.
Well, I just wanted to go. But that was one of the times where I really learned I just like the beach.
Right. Well, I think like ultimately part of why we wanted to do this was to give people a platform and like encourage them to be like travel how you want.
Yeah.
Like
yes.
choose the experiences that are going to enrich your life. Don't feel like you have to do what's in the guidebook. Don't feel like you have to do something that somebody told you to do.
Yeah.
Where I'm a very judgmental person normally in my life, both of you know, but I'm like with travel, it is very much like you should follow your heart with that stuff. Yeah. It's like, don't, if you go to Paris, you don't have to go to the Eiffel Tower. You really don't.
What if it burns down and I want to post a photo?
That's true.
There
that's
you
true.
Go. That's it, the next like, burns. Like at Notre Dame.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, save that.
Oh my God. Just like find what you want. Like travel to figure that out. Like I think at this point now I'm like, I know what I like to do when I travel and like I can build a trip in any place around that. Mm-hmm.
Right, but you can't know unless you go.
Yeah.
We just went to Costa Rica.
Oh yeah.
And that was our New Year's trip this year. Mm-hmm. And all the other New Year's trips we'd gone on were like Hawaii or Bora Bora. And they were just like sit in the water and drink pina coladas mm-hmm. and have a good time.
Yeah.
And Costa Rica, we went to like the middle of the rainforest, not near the beach. And that was very exciting because I'd never been to anywhere like that. But it was just a lot of hiking and a lot of stomping around and, mm-hmm. and like zip lining and adventure tourism.
Yeah.
And very quickly, it was hard to admit it at the time, but just like, yeah, I don't want that. If I'm going to go on my relaxing vacation, there's nothing relaxing about being nervous about falling off a 4x4.
Mm-hmm.
I want to sit by a pool and do nothing. Maybe I'll see like a beautiful mountain that I'll go on a hike on one day.
Yeah.
But if I'm going on a vacation, one nice one a year, and it's the middle of winter, I'm going to go to a beach and do nothing.
Yeah.
And I don't feel bad about that anymore because I tried the hike and I didn't like it.
And you learned.
All right, Travis, thank you so much for doing
thank
this.
You.
This was fun.
Talking
about travel is fun.
Yeah, it's very fun.
That's why we did this.
People, what do you want to plug? Do you want to plug anything?
Oh, you can find me on Twitter, Travis Helwig, TravisHelwig. You can listen to my podcast that I produce, Love It or Leave It, mm-hmm. drops every Saturday morning, hosted by John Lovett, who was an Obama speechwriter. And actually, follow me on Instagram. I need a better following.
Okay,
he wants to build up his numbers.
Yeah. Same. I feel like I'm good at Instagram, but I got to get better at
Bold.
And let's all...
I could tell that you disagree.
Oh, no, I was just like,
the face
whoa.
That you made was like, oh, yeah, sure, I bet you do. The amount of fucking stories you post, you piece of shit.
Oh, burning him.
Burn, roasted.
Okay, cool. Thanks, Travis.
Thank
you. What is the podcast called?
It's called Take Me There.
Oh, cool.